Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And she uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Tyler.
How are you? How were your holidays?
Okay, so Tyler, let's just start right here.
Okay, let's go.
I, in the 10 years that I've been doing this radio show, have never gone 2 weeks not being on the air. So I feel like I've been gone for a year.
Yeah, I took 2 weeks off too. It was amazing.
Well, so here's the interesting thing. Coming back from a long break is really hard. And, you know, as a teacher too, every quarter I'm starting off fresh with a whole new group of students and I have to kind of win them over to my strange ways. And so I'm really nervous the first day of school. But I've had like a nervous tummy about coming back on the air today for probably 4 days. In some ways, I feel like I forgot how to do this. I was laying in bed this morning, kind of petting my cat, trying to zen in, thinking, who's going to want to listen to this show? What? Why do people tune in? It was 2 weeks did not serve me well. I did not come back like rested and ready to go. I actually came back feeling a little like out of sync or out of my groove. Which had everything to do with what I wanted to talk about today, which was how do we find our groove when we're out of sync?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got to tell you, when I came back, I definitely, you know, you do this a while, and I thought I could go right back to being on the radio after 2 weeks off, and definitely a couple of flubs the first day. You forgot how to do it. But I tell you, the 2 weeks served me really well.
You have some color in your cheeks.
Oh, thank you.
You look very nice, like you got some sun and fun.
I was down in New Orleans for a long time, so yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling centered because between you and my guest today, hopefully you'll kind of ease me back into my space. Because I think I've told you this before, but when the first day I went on the air doing it live, because years before I had done pre-recorded shows, and then we went live probably 5 or 6 years ago. And the first day I came on the air, I was walking towards the studio and Marisa ran into me in the hallway and said, "Hey, how do you think this is going to go today?" And I just looked, I went, "What? You're supposed to say, this is going to be great. Or this, I can't wait to hear what you say." But instead, it's like, how is this going to go? I don't know. It could be awful or it might be okay. And so I'm kind of back in that place. Like, I don't know how it's going to go today. Because it's interesting coming back to something we always talk about. It's good to do something that makes you nervous. Because when we're nervous and we're feeling a little uncomfortable, that means growth is happening. That means there's potential for newness. That's the opportunity for us to open up and to bring in new ways of being and seeing the world. So here's what's weird, though. I am someone who really likes routine. I like knowing what I'm doing every day. I'm an incredibly disciplined person. Like, if you give me a plan, I'm really good at following the plan. I'm very focused. But at the same time, I'm an Aries, for all of you who care about those things, but I get bored super easily. And so when I get bored, I start to want to mess up my routine. But then when I mess up my routine, I feel really out of sorts. And so it's kind of this weird dance I do with myself of, you know, liking to have routine, liking to know what's going to happen, but then getting really bored and wanting to shake things up, you know, and when things aren't working, I want to be able to have them be different without having to change anything. And I know that I'm not alone in this, but it's challenging because I think, not to put it in a big global context right away, but there's so much uncertainty in the world. And I think, you know, I say that often, but then I was, over the course of the last 2 weeks, doing a lot of soul searching and kind of looking back over the course of history and where we've come from. And I can't imagine that there actually has been a period of time where someone couldn't get on the air on Tuesday and say, "We're in a time of turmoil," or "We've gone through a really rough period." It's like for 10,000 years, we've been saying it's been a real rough patch for humanity. So I'm not going to push it on to that somehow we've been in this unique situation of things being kind of shaky. But I think for myself, and then, of course, because I talk to every stranger that comes within 2 feet of me, much to the horror of my family, I have conversations whenever I can, you know, you find that sparkle in someone's eye, you know that sparkle, that they'll talk back to you. And so I'm always initiating that. I had a great conversation with Nan at the refinery in Paso Robles just the other day. Nan and I have never met each other. We ended up crying and hugging, and my husband kind of backed away a little bit because we both are around the same age, and she talked about how she had gotten to this place where she knew something had had to change. Something had to give. She was coming out of her skin. And she said to her husband, we've got to go. And so 4 years ago, they sold everything in Southern California and moved to Paso Robles and reinvented her life. And I keep meeting people who have that similar story, which says to me, something's changing in me, and yet I'm not willing to blow up my life, right, if I need to just remodel my house. And so I keep trying to change without changing. I keep trying to have things in my life be different without doing things differently. And over the course of the last, I don't know how long, I'll say to be nice to myself 6 months, but if I were to be honest, it's probably been the last couple of years, if you ask my husband, that I've known something has needed to shift and change. And I've talked about my house, and yes, it is still totally empty and haven't moved anything back in. And yes, I keep thinking about what is the next, you know, thing that I'll challenge myself with. But although I know that something needs to be different, I'm not willing to give up the structure of my life. I'm not going to blow my husband out the door. I'm not going to get rid of all of my earthly belongings. I really like my job. I know that teaching is where I'm supposed to be. And although I've been incredibly nervous, coming back here today to be with you on Tuesdays is really important. So here is the dilemma. How do I make room to do something differently when the life that I've created is so full that there's not a lot of room for anything else? And on top of that, of course, I want to do all of the things I'm supposed to do, like eat well, which requires preparing food, get enough sleep, which requires going to bed at a decent hour, getting exercise, which requires, you know, peeling off time during each day, trying to be mindful, so spending extra time in bed in the morning, petting the cats and doing my breathing. You know, all of those things I'm supposed to do to also stay balanced and whole takes up time. And so here I am on Tuesday wondering, what do I have to share with you? What is the new and different thing I have to share when I know there's something different I need to do, but I'm not sure what it is? So I brought in a backup. And this is interesting because my guest today is Tawny Sterios. And Tawny has called into the program a couple of times talking about her work with women and doing circles and retreats. And I always love when she calls in. And when she hangs up, I always think, oh, I need to get to know her. This is someone I should go do something with. But yet, of course, life is so busy, I just don't think about it until the next time she calls. But then Tawny and I ran into each other in the store. And we knew who each other were right away, although we'd never seen each other. We just kind of knew. And so we said, you've got to come on the air. And this is the perfect day because Tawny Sterios is going to help me break some room in my life to do things a little differently so that it doesn't disrupt everything I like, but it's enough to maybe get my groove back. And in turn, I'm hoping that you'll resonate with this idea as well, that we don't really need to blow up our life to have things change, but there are small things we can do that can make a huge difference. And I'm going to count on Tawny to bring that wisdom with us today. And I'm also going to open up the phone lines and invite your comments as well about what you see coming to you in 2019 or things you might have already changed up in your life. Or if you're like Nan, did you leave your life behind and start something new that you found incredibly satisfying? Our number is 805-781-3875. You can also find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or join us on Instagram. It's Elizabeth_TR. And we post information about the show every week. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And as always, we look forward to wherever this conversation goes today. So we'll be back in a moment to get things going and change our lives with Tawny Sterios. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Nothing like a little BTO to get things started in 2019. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And my guest today is Tani Stereos.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. I'm going to push closer to you here so we can
good.
Be.
Yeah, let's hear, right, let's so hear this.
I kind of gave a little intro of how we came to be, that there was a meeting of two people that needed to have a conversation, which I appreciate, and thanks for coming in. Yeah. But for people who may not know you by name, can you talk a little bit about how you came to be a yogi and a retreat leader and a goddess circle leader and a doula? What is a bit of your story and trajectory?
Self-exploration, I would say, if I'm going to just kind of be succinct here. Exploring myself and what turns me on, what I'm passionate about, what feels good in my body.
But when did this start? When you were five? When you were...
Probably. Yeah. I mean, well, I was really into sports. I was really into my body. I was really into soccer and dance, and I felt good moving my body. Although I probably couldn't say that at five.
Right.
But then it stuck with me. I think it got me through the teenage years of awkwardness. I knew I could run and feel good, and I could be with girlfriends on the soccer field and be jolly and be goofy. And I still do that with girlfriends, and that fills me up. So I think as I went to college at Cal Poly, I studied nutrition and wellness. I just knew I needed to keep with my body and in healthy relationship with others, fun, support.
So clearly you grew up in a bunker because social media or the media in general clearly never impacted your sense of well-being, because most women, I think, would say, well, at five, I loved my body and, you know, I loved moving. And then I hit 14 and the gloves came off. And then the influence of the culture, that never was part of it for you?
Not hugely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. My parents, I grew up in Orange County, so very much not a bunker, kind of in that, like, how you look, what brands you're wearing matter. Mm-hmm. But my parents took us camping a lot. And they were both teachers, school teachers, and during spring break, Christmas break, summers, we were in nature. And it doesn't take long, or it didn't take me long, to just be surrounded by wild nature and sounds to feel good. And I think I never lost that there's this place on earth that you can go to and feel really good. Or
so
I felt
just
really good.
A very calm human.
Well, I know where I need to go to get calm.
Yeah, that's good. You know where the exit is. And do you have siblings?
I have an older sister, yes, Lynette. Yeah.
So, because I'm the oldest in my family, and the oldest will quite often say that we were the experimental children.
Right.
And the children, the siblings that come after us have the freedom, I think, a little bit less intensity of the parents' attention.
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was exploring more. My mom said I would be eating like flies behind the couch, where she wouldn't let the first child do that, but I was naked in the gutter.
Yes.
You know, playing, having fun.
Yes, exactly. And there is something interesting about being the sibling, the second and third siblings, is that parents kind of back away a little bit and trust the universe to raise you a little more than they do.
And I think that served me. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do that now consciously with my daughter who's 11. Like, give her direction, but not too much, because she needs to find it. Mm-hmm. And I think their a little bit laissez-faire style served me to feel, okay, what is right, what is wrong here? I mean, now probably I wouldn't even put my daughter in some of those situations. Even just like they would let me walk to the market a couple blocks from our house and go get candy and come back. And I did. And I got to sense my awareness. Where did I feel safe? When did I really need to watch the street? And, you know, now I don't know if I would let my daughter have that freedom. Or I try, but it's kind of hard.
It is. Well, and that's a whole nother conversation we can come back another day to talk about, is that free range parenting. And how do we help a young person, a little boy or little girl, go from feeling wonderful at five or six or seven, and then how do we launch them through those adolescent years into their adulthood without losing that sense of who they are? And so you went to Cal Poly and studied nutrition, which also, my assumption is that nutrition would be a very regimented major.
It was very heavy in the science, which my mom was a biologist. So, yes, heavy in the science and rigidity. And I actually did not love that about Cal Poly and about the nutrition. I was very much more on the holistic model, raising my hand a lot about organic and vegan and raw food and exploring more alternative even diet, because it was much about, for me, preventing disease. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit more there was, just standard American diet and how to prevent some disease, but also
trying to backtrack and fix it down the road.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So I did get into yoga during college, and then that kind of, launched me into a little bit more yoga and wellness and finding that balance of movement and nutrition.
And so, without asking you flat out how old you are, how long have you been doing this work then? What was your progression from nutrition and yoga college to the profession you have today?
Well, at 15, I found yoga. I hurt my back in soccer. And so my sister had a driver's license, and she would take us to our local gym that had great yoga. And I just caught on to that feeling of that I'm more than my body and that I could breathe. And I wasn't raised with any particular religion, and we weren't a particularly spiritual family. And I just had a real power that would happen in some of the breathing and just lying down, really. I knew there was another place I could take myself. And so I started at 15, which was 20 years ago.
Okay, thank you.
21. And then the diet and nutrition kind of came on board about 12 years ago. I've been, studying nutrition.
And so you have an 11-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You're married.
Mm-hmm.
You do doula work.
I do.
Circle work.
I do.
Retreats.
I do.
And teach yoga.
I do.
So you heard my list of all the
things.
Will
you marry me?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I feel committed to us already. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And you heard me kind of talking about all the things that I love and feel committed to.
Yeah.
So where is the room for the different, to do things a little differently?
Right.
Without feeling guilty that you're not doing everything perfect. Bring some of your wisdom to me.
Well, I think when I heard you do that intro, what kind of came to my mind first was nature. Like, mm-hmm. I look at nature and how it changes around us. It changes. Right now, the hills are green. I just went on a hike this morning. They're green. It's changing. Yet it happens subtly and slowly. And so I encourage people to make changes in their life. We're here to evolve and shift mm-hmm. and change and grow and become new us's, you know, each year. And especially maybe this time of year is a beautiful time to really sink into that newness, because it's that winter and kind of going in. And now we're going to start to emerge into a new year and, you know, potentially a new us, a new blossom of us. So how can we change, but in a subtle way, even mm-hmm. like even a subtle shift in your day to day, you know? And I think it's a very personal practice of like, okay, Elizabeth, what is that one thing? You know, is it a daily hike, or not even daily? Like, is it hiking? Is it swimming? Does it have to do with water? Does it have to do with fire? Does it have to do with earth? And just like listening to the kind of callings of the heart of like, where do I really want to change anyways? Right. Culture will say this, or society might say this, or you should do this phase of your life. But like asking those big questions or closing the eyes and just be like, what is next? And I think the answers come.
I do too. And I think that they never come at the pace or in the ways that we think they will.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of the struggle of taking on new things. You know, people come into therapy usually when they're in crisis. That's when they show up at our door and say, I need things to be better. This is untenable. But then the process of change tends to be too slow for people. Mm. And so they...
Right.
Band-aid something quickly, or we make impulsive decisions where you see people leave a long-term relationship or sell their house or, you know, do something that really shakes up because that voice inside says something needs to be different, but it doesn't go at the pace that we think things should be.
Right.
And so we tend to jump. And as you're talking about like that kind of evolving, maybe things are changing and we don't recognize that we've changed. So maybe part of the work is being able to actually identify things that have changed.
Right. So I lead monthly women's circles every new moon, usually. Sometimes it's a full moon. And I use those as much for myself as I do for opening them to the public. Let's pause once a month and just check in. Like close our eyes, maybe dance. We do dance, we do yoga, we do meditation, whatever, lots of different things. But to assess each month, what's feeling? What is my heart feeling right now? And what is my body feeling? And journaling and talking about it and to get a pulse on it. Because yes, we all are always shifting. Yeah, whether we kind of catch it or not.
So talk for people who might not be aware of circles, or maybe they've heard circles and thought it was more of, you know, something wooey or out there or, you know, more of a spiritual practice. How do you envision this work of a circle, and where do you do them? At your home?
Currently, I do them at the San Luis Yoga Center, the new one in Marigold Plaza. They did start 15 years ago in my home, but now they're open to the public. And I did just read somewhere someone saying, oh, circling is the new age modern something.
Well, I was going to mention that to something. You. Is that I saw it in, I think Quartz had an article about what is the circle?
Circling, the new phenomenon.
The new way to network. I know. So does that worry you that it starts to become?
No, it doesn't worry me because I feel like it's an ancient technology. I think people would come together in many different ways. This one, I'm calling it a woman's circle. I work mostly with women right now, and that's what I'm calling it. But people came together to support each other, help each other, hear each other. Because what if our hearts are struggling? I mean, right? Whose isn't right now? It is a fast-paced world and hard times. So what if we created a space once a month to listen to what our heart's feeling and help each other navigate it? I'm not saying a woman's circle is your key, but what is a way to check in once a month, maybe more, but to me, that's kind of enough and a lot. I feel great if I can like have a really couple hours of togetherness and doing inner work, kind of meets community work, meets self-care, like very efficient here. I'm a mom. <It's> like
well, and that's the thing too that I think like for a certain group of people, they'll say, oh yeah, this is where my brain kind of operates. I like yoga. I like the idea of circles and gathering and tuning into nature. That's the song I sing. But then I always think about like my mom who's listening and her friends, and you know, that might not be the song they sing, like circles and meditation. It's like, that's not it. But I also feel this yearning or a striving or a desire for something different. That's not scary, right? That's different, but not changing the whole fundamental who I am. That's, I guess,
beautiful.
You know, I would love my mom to come at the end of the show today and say, you know what? I'm going to do this one thing, whatever it is. Maybe do a one-day retreat or maybe go to some, well, the book clubs. And she does book clubs. So I think I always think of that. It's like, that's your circle.
Yep.
And as I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we talked about traditions and rituals. Anything is a tradition or ritual if we call it as such.
And maybe you could add if it brings a sense of wholeness or a sense of wellness. Like, did you feel better after Bunko or poker night or book club, or did you feel worse? Because these are, in a way, to lift us up, right? We're needing that. We're lost. Like you're saying, like, okay, I want to get my mojo. I'm a little like, what is it? What if, yes, we have to do that work on our own, find out what is it, but what if we were held in sisterhood, motherhood, you know, friendship circle where you come to those answers with a little more support and less I'm all alone. And that doesn't feel right for anyone.
And the ability to be a little vulnerable or open, you know, in those. Because, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bunko and poker. I'm thinking a lot of ways that we naturally come together. There used to be bridge clubs, and you know, we have always been drawn to those, but not always allowed to strip down our public face and kind of allow our private story to emerge, because there has to be an element of safety in that. So there's a little bit of danger in book, you know, the book club or the social club, is that it requires us to come with our social face on.
Yeah. So I allow and invite and have a kind of code of conduct for you're allowed to get messy here. Because, like, we all need a place where we can go and cry. Like, wet is welcome. Like, if you're crying, tears are welcome. You can get messy. And so sometimes there is tears in the circle of sharing something that's hard. But in that sharing of vulnerability and opening up to something, often I think there is even a study that says you change when you share that. Like, you voice it and you feel different about it, and it can help you get through it by sharing it. It's being vulnerable, yeah, and being seen. I think it helps.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Tani Sterios. She is a leader of circles, leader of retreats, a yogi. What am I missing? A doula. You do a lot of things. A mom, yeah. A wife.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how to make room to do things a little differently if you're kind of craving something different or something new, but not really wanting to kind of blow up everything as you know it. How can you make time maybe to attend one of the circles that happen each month? And how do people find out about it? Do you do a Facebook or?
I have a Facebook group for women called We Moon Circle, WeWEMOON. And yeah, I put the circles there. I have them on my website, TaniSterios.com. And yeah, we've got a great community here in SLO for it. A great group of women of all ages and stages. And we hold a really safe, sweet spot for each other to be.
Well, I think what's interesting also, no matter where you are, whatever county, whatever state, if you Google circles, and it's funny because that's how I came across the Quartz article about New York City and circling becoming the new networking for women. And it's nice to hear people talking about it. I've always loved the work of Jean Shinoda Bolen, Goddess in Every Woman, Gods in Every Man, in her book Millionth Circle. And I had talked to her a few years ago about this idea of the millionth circle, which was that if enough women meet in circles, there is a tipping point where you get all of these women's kind of the idea of consciousness raising of the, you know, 50s and 60s. When you have million circles meeting, that energy can shift the whole energy of the world, the whole energy of the planet, and that's kind of her focus in life. And I love that in something simple and organic and done at home or with a group in your community, you can join with the energy of all of these other women around the world, and that could be your way of making a difference. Because I think sometimes we feel overwhelmed with, I have to meditate, I have to do yoga, I have to, you know, be an activist, I have to go to the Women's March, I have to. And as you mentioned, there should be pleasure and joy. And I wonder sometimes if the pleasure and joy disappear because it becomes the routine. I love hiking. I love swimming. You know, all the things you're mentioning, I do all those things. But I find myself every once in a while going, it's the chore of the day and not the joy of the day.
Right. We tell our bodies so much. Drive here. Sit here. Teach this. Do this. I mean, for you, even like sit down and talk about this. Like, what if we just paused and okay, body, what do you want to do today? And even let yourself kind of wander around. Sometimes when I'm hiking, I do that. I'm like, okay, off trail time. Where do you want to go? What do you want to see? And kind of remember what it's like to be a little bit lost and how we find our way into calling something over here or something pulling over here and see and trust. And maybe even flexing that relationship to be like, oh, this is it. And for those listening, maybe it's dancing. Maybe it's photography. Maybe it's poetry. Like, there is a circle for everything and or a retreat for anything. So maybe it's travel. So it's like, what are the inner callings that you even – it's maybe it's just a whisper. Or you're not even sure, but maybe there's something in it. And I do like how you brought that up around – where's the joy? What joy is calling you? What thing that's feeling really good? Because that's what we need right now in this new year and this world. We need more people feeling also quite happy and whole in their bodies and their minds and their spirits.
And I think that was part of what motivated the show for today and kind of going into 2019, I was thinking about, you know, what is my intentions for this year? And the last couple years, I have made this resolution that I was going to spend 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week doing something to better myself as a person. And I succeeded not well. I did not succeed well. I'm trying to put in a more positive spin. Her tears are away. What is like double negative? I didn't do really well. And so this year I thought, you know, why did I struggle with 5 minutes five times a week? And so I thought, you know what I need to do is act. I think that a lot of my life is trying to be a better person from being a grandma or teaching or whatever it is I'm trying to do. And maybe what I really need to do is work towards 5 minutes a week to do something that's joyful, that's pleasurable, that's what I needed to focus on, because I think that's the thing that I'm not cognizant of. I'm much more cognizant of the must-dos, the be a good persons, the things that I think we all are checking off every day to feel like we're making a difference or being our best self. And I thought the thing that I'm really lacking is the joy. So for the last week, I've been throwing those pennies in there, paying attention. That's how I count my days, is I throw a penny in the jar if I've done something for 5 minutes that brings joy. And so I think that's what I really was resonating with when I saw you, is just you look like you have joy. You talk about taking women on retreats. And when I think of retreats, it's kind of more of this solemn, kind of quiet, going inward. But you said, no, but we dance. Or we might start singing. And it started sounding kind of just silly and playful. And it made me start thinking about how those endorphins that we release doing something silly, even if it's for 5 minutes, can change the course of our life.
Right. And the patterns, even in our brain, and the hormones. Yeah. The stress hormones get lower and lower as really the sexual hormones increase. And so I hear from so many women, period trouble, menstrual trouble. I mean, those are stress symptoms, right? So we're forgetting, I think, in our culture to find pleasure.
And I think because so many people are feeling like they want to rise to a higher vibration or a higher self or be, you know, I think that intention, I don't know if I've ever met someone who said, you know, I just want to be as lousy as I can. I have never met a human who said, I have no interest in bettering the world. I'm just going to think about myself. I've never met that person. So I would think that really the universal struggle when we talk about people feeling burnt out or tired or overwhelmed is not because they're not trying hard enough to be good people. I think it really might be the other, is that they're not allowing enough time just to think about themselves, just to be silly, just to not do something that you have to do.
Like, yeah, go wander in the woods.
To wander a little bit, right. Or like you said, to, you know, make time to make love with someone. There's been a lot of research in the last year about how lower the sex drives and sex lives of young people are, millennials and below, because their life doesn't have time for it.
Right.
And then as you talked about, those hormones that are released are the things that give us pleasure and joy. That it's like the minimum you can do to maintain joy is to have that intimacy with someone you care about.
Yeah, what if this new year you felt good in your body and it felt good? It felt good to feel good and change into this new you was through pleasure or was through doing things that felt good or made you laugh.
Yes, instead of but, you know, watching your calories or how many times you did bench press or whatever those things we feel like we need to do to feel better.
Right.
What if it were the opposite? It's like, I already know I'm going to do those things, but I'm going to spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes five times a week just feeling pleasure, feeling like I'm five, as you talked about.
Yeah.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My guest is Tani Stereos, and we're kind of grappling with this whole idea of change, doing things differently, making time to better ourselves, how to bring in joy, how to bring in pleasure. Where are you with this? We're going to take a break and then open up the phone lines at 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. We'd love to hear from you. Are you making time for joy and pleasure? What does this look like for you? Have you changed something up? Are you in the process? Let us know. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls.
Here is out of sight, but they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Every border was dancing in.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I'm with my guest, Tani Stereos. And, you know, today I would say we don't have a direct focus or goal. We mostly are just kind of talking about where we are at this moment in our lives. So let's talk a little bit about what is motivating you at this time in your life. With a daughter that's 11 and a husband and a lot of things that you're interested in, what motivates you, inspires you, gives you energy and pleasure?
Circling with women once a month gives me a lot of pleasure. I love coming together and reading poetry and tracking the moon. We get together every new moon and singing. And I'm not a singer. Or I am a singer. I have no training. But I believe when we come together and we sing, there's a lot of joy that comes around. And I don't want that to ever stop. I want us to keep being women that sing. And so that brings me joy. It grounds me. It helps me feel connected to others and connected to myself and my body and my joy.
And then what about the idea of retreats? Because I know, I know that you lead retreats, women's mm-hmm. retreats. But I was also thinking about how when retreating is like an ancient practice along with coming together in circles. But this idea of retreats, I think they were always associated with kind of the religious retreats where you're supposed to go off by yourself and be alone long enough so that you could hear that internal wisdom and feel like it's the voice of God. That's kind of the original idea of retreating, was to kind of find that inner voice. But over the course of, you know, hundreds of years, retreats have changed quite a bit. And you hear a lot about yoga retreats. If you Google retreat, it's going to be yoga retreats all over the place. But if yoga is not your thing, what kind of retreating can people do? Because if you didn't have the interest in going to a woman's full moon circle, or if you didn't have a woman's circle that you were doing, but maybe you're thinking, I just do want to get away and just be alone. I think as a mom and as a woman, a lot of times I think, I just want to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily have to want to wake up at 6:30 and do sun salutes. Mm-hmm. You know?
I love personally to go on retreat or to get away. And I think it's healthy for all of us to take a pause, whether it be for a circle once a month or poker or book club, or for like a week away to get out of the routine and maybe hear things differently. I know when I'm even away from my house, I think differently because I'm not looking around and seeing what needs to be done or what I have to do. And especially if you retreat to a place that brings you beauty. So often all my retreats are in beautiful places, but that then can inspire you. So I think the retreats can, there's no right or wrong way and full permission to make your own retreat, or you could do a group retreat, but to take time away from the schedule and the routine, I think helps us go inward or have those inner visions or ahas or peace.
And then maybe gives us the energy also to come back and see our day to day. Because as I opened the show, I said, I don't necessarily want to let go of my day to day because I've created what I feel like is a nice life, but I need to see it from a different angle. And so that's the work of, I think, a retreat for me at this point, is to be able to go away long enough to come back refreshed for what I already am committed to doing.
Right. And that could be a solo retreat. That could be a group retreat. Mm-hmm. So I take a group to India every February and a group to Mexico every summer. And sometimes just being in group and like talking to other people in total different walks of life and stages is also part of that retreat, is like seeing how other people are navigating life and getting to know them. And sometimes just going away and doing like a silent retreat or yoga, you know, just full permission to explore what feels right and needed for you.
Our number is 805-781-3875. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we're talking about how you refresh or find joy or pleasure. Elizabeth, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for coming.
I first want to say this is the very first time I've tuned into your show, and it's been very enlightening and quite pleasurable. And I'm cleaning a house while I'm working and listening to the radio, and I'm like, this is great.
Well, then I'm glad it's working for you.
Yeah, so you were having all these doubts about getting back to work, and look, my very first time, and I'm like, this is wonderful.
I'm so
glad. Keep doing what you're doing. You're great at it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment about the joy aspect of what you're talking about, because myself, I'm a hospice musician, but I put on my business card my name, my stage name, Eliza Sings, because I'm a singer, and then I put my subtitle, Joy Giver. And I think that it's so important that in my job, and I knew from the very first day that there was no way that I was going to be able to give out joy to other people if I didn't take the time first to be filled. And so that happens in different ways for different people, but, you know, I just sit before the Lord in the morning when I'm doing it the right way, and I take time to listen, to just say thank you, to say, this isn't me today, this is you. And that just, I think it's so key that I start to get discouraged and I get bogged down, and that's because I haven't done the first thing first. You know, I'm just digging out of my deep well instead of having it be overflowing. And it is a practice. It takes a lot of practice to be consistent. So I just wanted to share that.
I love that, Elizabeth. Thank you. And I love that you do this. I love the title Joy Giver, because I remember my brother and I had this conversation often. We were always envious of our friends who, when we were young, said, oh, I'm an artist, or I'm a musician. And we would say, how did you find out you were that? No one's ever come to my house and said, you're an athlete or you're an artist. You know, I was always so a little envious of my friends who kind of just entitled themselves to a name. I kept waiting for something to come down and tell me who I was. So I love that you've given yourself this title and this permission to be who you are. And then that just carries out into the world, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does.
And at first I thought it might be like more of a burden because I had to maintain this status quo, but it's really not that if I do the first thing, which you're talking about, retreating, walks alone, you know, setting aside time for yourself every day, being still, listening better. Those are all the things that fill us up to the innate sense we know what's true. Like, we know what the truth is if we will just stop and pay attention. And just choosing that is such a discipline. You know, it's such a self-discipline. And I'm not consistent always, but it's certainly the days that I go out and try to do my job and I'm just dragging. I'm like, why is this hard today? And then I go, oh, because this is, I made it about me, you know, and it's not about me. So anyway, being a joy giver is a total privilege, but I just want to keep encouraging your listeners, just like you were encouraging me today, to pay attention, listen to your body, ask your body. Who said, one of you said that, ask your body, what do you want to do today?
That was Tawny.
You know, what a simple question, and what a profound answer your body might respond with.
I love that. Thank you, Elizabeth. Enjoy the rest of your home cleaning.
Thank you.
And you know, and I'm so glad that she mentioned the house cleaning, because a wiser woman than myself, years ago when I was kind of lamenting, oh, I just feel like all I'm doing is feeding people and cleaning up after them, and I should be wearing a pit crew outfit because I just am in service all the time. And this older woman said to me, she said, that is the greatest gift you can have, is to be able to make a home and to make this home a place that people want to come be in and feel good in. So this, your home is a representative of all you are inside. And so when I'm in my best place, that is how my home feels. That if I could clean the house, not with, oh, I need to get this done so I can then do all these other chores, but I'm cleaning this house because then this is a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, before the air, we talked about how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah, talk about that. I loved that example.
Well, I have a little sign right by my kitchen sink that says, don't forget, when you wash the dishes wash you. So I'm trying to make it a water therapy where I'm cleaning that dish and I'm feeling refreshed and I'm feeling present. So are you cleaning in a present way where you are grateful as you wash whatever you're washing? I'm so grateful I'm washing this, and I have this in my life, and I have a home, and I have loving people around me. And
talk about that in terms of kind of, you know, yoga, because in the 15 years that you've been practicing, I'm sure you've seen a fundamental change in the whole culture of yoga and the people who are drawn to it. How, you know, what is it that you, that it brings to you, and the idea, I just, how you talked about how you are in life, or how you are in mm-hmm. your yoga pose is how you are in life.
Yeah. Could
talk a little bit about that, because I know there's a lot of people who are really devoted to the practice, mm-hmm. but maybe aren't getting the same experience,
yeah.
that inner experience.
Well, there is this ability to view your yoga practice as that's why they call it practice. Like, you're just keeping up with it. It's something you're constantly doing and approaching new ways and seeing new things. As you practice is a metaphor for how you're practicing, let's say, life. Mm-hmm. So you're coming to your mat with rigidity, anchor. That's not bad. That's okay. Okay. So how now, as you move on your mat in different shapes in your body, can you soften? How can you release some of that anger, resentment, whatever you're showing up with, to become more present or find some gratitude? Like, okay, I have this achy knee, just like cleaning the window. Can I be present with this achy knee and be grateful I have this achy knee? And maybe even in thus doing so changes the relationship with the ache or the pain in the body. And then maybe you find yourself in your work, the way you parent, the way you live your life, you're approaching things with the ability to soften into it and find the joy or find the gratitude in life, maybe even more quickly. Mm-hmm. So the practice can be a metaphor or a way to help us live our life.
And then, because you have the nutrition background, how do you bring the nourishing piece into your practice and into your day-to-day?
Well, I also study Ayurveda, the Indian kind of science. It's a sister science to yoga. And I eat for the season. I eat locally. I let myself explore food and find the joy in food. And I try really not to limit myself in any way. But I know what a holistic diet is. I know what whole foods are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I aim for. And usually those are quite delicious and beautiful. And yeah, I bring in just healthy eating, trying to eat 3 square meals a day.
The traditional yeah. nourishment. So you have an 11-year-old, though.
Yes.
So are there any French fries in this
yes.
experience? Okay.
Yeah, we don't limit ourselves. Yeah, I don't have like a one particular diet. Mm-hmm. I kind of go off what feels right in the moment. And usually if I'm sharing it with others and eating with others, that feels really beautiful. And if I'm enjoying it, that feels really good too.
All right. So then what about the relational part? Because you've been married for a while.
Yeah. Almost 12 years.
12 years. Yeah. So at year 11, usually there's like a transition that marriages go through where you're quite often in the steep of raising children and building your businesses. So how do you navigate that as well? Because relationships themselves are a full-time committed mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you have time to be alone? Be with your daughter.
That's what I'm asking. Know. Make that food.
Wander
in the hills. And then nurture that relationship. Yeah. Because if you want that relationship to be here once your child leaves home, what is your secret magic for that?
Right.
My mojo friend.
Yes. Okay. we do the date nights. We've taken parenting classes together. We've taken relationship classes together. We talk. In the current moment, we do a hike once a week together where we can both kind of get away from our lives and talk to each other, you know, without our daughter. We have family powwows where we all share what's going on and find closeness. And we get away. Sometimes we'll do retreats together or we'll go on a vacation, just him and I. Thank goodness I've got, you know, family and friends that support. Particularly my mom will take our daughter, and we have one daughter. I think that is easier a bit to have that closeness and time together.
So then when you're ticked off at each other, are you still this measured?
On a good day.
Okay. Because let's just be real about this here.
Yeah.
I mean, there have to be days that you look over and say, why are you here?
Yeah.
How can I keep doing this? Like, what is your magic sauce for that?
Right. Usually if I find myself really triggered, I'll yell.
If you want to be honest, I want that.
Yeah. I'll yell. I've thrown a plate on the floor. I've left. That was my, like, tactic. I was like, I'm leaving. Like, and I'll walk out the door and I'll walk around downtown SLO where I live. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm walking, but I can't be there right now. Until usually I just breathe and realize, is there anywhere else you really want to go right now? Mm. No. I mean, sometimes I'll knock on a friend's door. but no, I want to be in this relationship. I want to be in this family. What's in our way? Mm. Where am I not feeling heard? Where am I not feeling understood? Where am I not understanding? Where am I not hearing? And then we'll come back and talk it out as best we can. And we both have taken a lot of communication courses, nonviolent communication. I love the book, The Art of Communication by Thich Nhat Hanh.
It's a great book.
And I'm proud of us. We'll get through those times. Yeah, we had that 7-year itch.
Yeah, there's 7-year itch. There's the 11 year, transition.
Okay, 11 was okay.
Yeah, that's good. Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest is Tani Stereos. And Bruce, join in. Let us know what's on your mind today.
So what I've noticed is, you know, a lot of the stuff you're talking about and a lot of, you know, getting in touch with yourself on communication, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of serious.
Yes.
And, yes, yeah, so I have a friend, I have two friends I've known since second grade, and they're both Trumpsters, and I'm quite the opposite. So I went through what you were just talking about, like, do I still want to be friends with this person? Do I still, why am I here? Why am I hanging out with these people, you know? and I see them a couple times a year, and I get together with these two different guys. I've known them both since second grade, you know, separately, independent of each other. And with either one, we become second graders. We start laughing at the silliest, stupidest stuff. And we're laughing. I mean, we have tears running down our face. We're just laughing. We're doing wordplay. We become a couple of guys in Monty Python. And we just do the silliest, stupidest stuff. And the next morning, we laugh. We do like a little recap of what we were laughing about the night before, and we're just rolling our eyes. But it's a release. It's almost a release, like an orgasm. I mean, you know, you laugh and you laugh and you most of us don't do that. We're so serious. Mm-hmm. We're so introspective. Mm-hmm. You know, and these are the guys that I can say anything in front of. Yeah. And I'm the guy they can say anything in front of, and we know how to push each other's buttons in a good way. And I come out of there, and I'm driving home with my wife because it's a couple's thing, you know. But me and my buddy end up in the garage talking, having a beer. And, you know, every time I leave, I tell my wife, we've got to do this more often.
Yes.
It's amazing, you know, just something so simple that's so necessary that we don't do because we become so serious nowadays, you know.
I agree. And I love that. I love that reminder, Bruce, because to laugh so hard that your face hurts is one of the greatest experiences in the world, isn't it?
It's amazing. And think of all the years we did it. If you did any kind of sports, like if you did any groups, you know, with a bunch of your girlfriends and me with my guy friends when you're younger, when you're approaching adolescence, sometimes you just go off on a word or someone says something and you tease them and then they laugh at themselves and you laugh at each other. And the next thing you know, you get the thing is, I don't think there's almost anything in the world better than getting the giggles.
I agree. And I'm so glad you said it, because I think that probably would be the overall theme of today's show, because I mentioned, you know, my 5 minutes of doing something joyful. I think it is something maybe as simple as laughter. And you brought up the idea of orgasm, which is also incredibly pleasurable, that giving ourselves permission maybe in 2019 to do 5 things over the course of a week that just feel good, that just feel good. And that can just be laughing. I agree. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for calling. All right. So, Tani, not everyone can, you know, pull time off of their life to go on a retreat. But for a woman who might be saying, you know what, I can pull 3 or 4 days out of my life, talk a little bit about the retreats that are upcoming for you, if someone might feel so inclined, especially kind of the camping one.
Yeah, so I think Elizabeth might be joining us for this one. April 12th through the 15th in 2019, there's a spring camping retreat in Big Sur. It's just so close here. It's such beauty and nature. There's a real nourishment that can be found when we just get away from technology, and there's no Wi-Fi, there's no cell service. It's about 20 women, and we camp, and or you can stay in a teepee, and we get together, and we do a whole day of fun stuff, hiking, songs, fire, alone time too, nature time. And then I also have it in the fall, August 30th through September 2nd, back in Big Sur. And those are both on my website, tawnysterios.com.
S-T-E-R-I-O-S.
Correct. Tawny like the color, T-A-W-N-Y.
And people can find out more information about your women's circles on your website, also your yoga work.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that maybe we'll make this an ongoing experience of having conversations together.
Love it.
Thank you so much for coming in. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and I hope and maybe you're feeling a little inspired to do something out of your ordinary. Maybe a 5-minute laugh, 5 minutes of some comedy, or 5 minutes holding your best friend's hand, or 5 minutes kissing your spouse or your significant other. 5 minutes of something that's just pure pleasure. And maybe that's 5 minutes of eating something absolutely delicious, but take all 5 minutes to eat that absolutely delicious thing and then enjoy it without guilt. And I look forward to continuing our conversations now week after week, Tuesdays at 2. You can find me at Elizabeth at thereluctanttherapist.com, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. You can also send me an email or podcast our shows through Apple Podcasts. Any way you want to connect, I'd like to hear from you. As always, thank you for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We leave you with a little inspiration from Alabama Shakes.
Used to be.